lift up your voice right now. High praise all over this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. We lift you up, oh God. We magnify your holy name, oh God. You're worthy to be praised, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mighty God, mighty God. So good to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Is anybody thankful to be in God's house one more time? For one more opportunity and one more chance to give praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You ought to give him a hand clap right now. Lift up your voice right now if you're thankful to be in God's house right now. He's worthy of all the praise that we can give him right now. We don't have enough for him. You ought to give him praise one more time in this place. Always an honor to be in the house of the Lord. We don't count this as light to be filling this pulpit with such great men that have stood here, but I believe that God has given me a word for tonight. Anybody thankful for your pastor and his family? Amen. Amen. Let's continue to lift them up as they're traveling. Thankful that they have the opportunity to get out and go and have some family time, because that's important. And God's still going to move here. Somebody say amen. Let's get into the word of the Lord. If you would, turn your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. When you got it, say amen. If you need it, say wait on me. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8, the Bible says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Iznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory." If you would, put your Bibles down. Let's pray. Mighty God, love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your provision, God. I ask that you would help us here tonight, oh God. Let your spirit continue to move, oh God. I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay, oh God. Give me clarity, oh God. Let me be able to speak as the oracles of God. Let me channel your thoughts, oh God. Let me channel your mind, oh God, to give this word to your people, oh God. These are your people, oh God, and they are great people, oh God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus, you're my strength and my redeemer. And let everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise as you're seated. I want to preach to you tonight on this title, A Defender of the Ground. A Defender of the Ground. 2 Samuel 23 gives us some of David's last words. The chapter opens and says, "Now these be the last words of David, the man who we know as the mighty king." Parting words from one of the greatest men who ever walked the face of the earth, as David looks back over his life and begins to recount all the things that he was able to do and the things that he was able to see. His memory could have taken him back to a day when he was minding his business, just doing what he did, tending the sheep. And all of a sudden, there came a man named Samuel with a horn of oil in his hand. And that day, he would be anointed king. He could have talked about what it was like to kill the lion. He could have talked about what it was like to kill the bear. His mind could have placed him back in the valley where there stood a giant by the name of Goliath that tormented his people. The place where he would slay the giant and his anointing and his power would become public. He could have went back to all the rendezvous on the backside of the hill with God himself. He no doubt could have spent hours upon hours upon hours singing all the songs that he was so blessed to be able to have the ability to write. He could have got lost in all of his accomplishments, all of the wars that he won, all of the successes. After all, he was the author of the most quoted book, the book of the Psalms, the giant killer. Remember, Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. But David, like most great leaders, didn't want to take this opportunity to highlight himself. But David chose to use some of his very last words to talk about how his mighty men fared and how they helped him in battle. A group of men that David raised up as pillars around the throne. Some 30 plus odd men who would ensure that the throne of David was stable. David trained them up in the arts and exercises of war and set them as an example of conduct and of courage. Men who were instrumental to bring David to the crown and to settle and protect him in the throne. David was saying, I know everyone would want to talk about all that I have accomplished, but these brave men and mighty men were key to most of my success. 2 Samuel 23 begins to detail these mighty men. They divide them into three ranks, the first three who had done the greatest exploits. And the Bible goes on to say that none of them has done more than these first three. The first one, number one, was Adino, who slew 800 men at once with his spear. Number two was Eleazar, who smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And the Bible says that his hand clave to his sword. These men are at the very top of the list of David's mighty men. But today, I want to talk about the third man mentioned in the text. The Bible says that the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils or beans. And the Bible says that the people ran away from the Philistines. But there was a man by the name of Shammah who stood in the middle of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. This meaningless, small, and if insignificant piece of ground, Shammah, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. You're outnumbered. You just need to follow the crowd. You need to let them have it. You could be doing so many other things with your time. This small field of lentils is not even worth much. It's not even worth anything. But Shammah said, I know it seems small to you, but it's mine. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to defend this ground that the Lord has given me. Scripture leaves out the details, but I believe that this was a continual effort for him. Day in and day out, you can find Shammah in the middle of the ground that God had said was his. And he would stand there in the face of the adversary, in the face of the Philistines. And he would say, this is my field. I'm going to defend this field. There's nothing that's going to be able to encroach on this field. I don't care what everybody else is doing, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to fight for this ground. He made a decision to either follow the crowd or to spend this time defending the crown. In the face of the Philistines, all by himself, he would be ready day in and day out to fight for the crown. The Bible says that he would set himself in the middle of the crown. And we use the idiom all the time, you need to stand your ground. To stand your ground means to brace yourself and to maintain your position during or when anticipating attack, or to refuse to yield, to refuse to compromise, or to refuse to be belittled. After everyone else left, Shammah did just that. In spite of what everybody else did, he was a defender of the ground. He says, I'm not backing up. I'm not moving. I'm not going to be shaken. I'm going to defend this ground because God has given it to me. I won't be moved. I won't compromise. I won't yield in the face of opposition when everybody else is walking away. I'm willing to stand with God all by myself, because if God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. You've got to get an attitude today. This is my ground. I'm going to defend it. I believe tonight that there is some ground that's still worth defending. Can I get an amen in the house? Is there some ground that's still worth defending? Is there something to stand and fight for? Is there something to lay yourself down on an altar and say, I will die right here all by myself, but I'm going to be defending the ground. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think the first ground that you need to defend is the ground of your mind. It is the control center and the base of operations for all that we are, for all that we see, for all that we believe, and for all that we do. The first ground that the enemy is going to try to take is the ground of your mind. If he can take place anywhere, he wants to take root and take place in your mind. If you lose that ground, then everything else is lost. If the devil can get here, everything else is lost. That's where the battle happens. This is why the word of God says that we need the helmet of salvation. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. The first thing God does when somebody comes in from the outside is God gives you the Holy Ghost. God renews your mind, because he doesn't need you to think how you used to think. He doesn't need you to see how you used to see. He doesn't need you to act like you used to act, but he needs to transform your mind. He says, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. And so God gives us the power to identify when things are encroaching on our ground. When you are full of the Spirit, you're able now, with this new found revelation of truth and the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of you, you're able to decipher what things should be going into this ground and what things you should be taking out of this ground. The Bible talks about renewing the mind, and so what happens is God comes in and he transforms your mind, so now you're able to say, this is not good. I can't go here anymore. I can't watch that anymore. I can't listen to that anymore. I gotta fight and defend this ground. You start taking control. Doubt, you've gotta go. Fear, you've gotta go. Unforgiveness, there's no place for you here. Racism, you've gotta get out of here. This is my ground, and I'm gonna defend it. I'm gonna fight for it. I'm gonna do whatever it takes, because God has given me this ground. You got to get an attitude about this ground. You got to get an attitude about this. If he can get here, then he can start taking dominion over every area of your life. When God starts to say things in his word that are for you, you start to lose sight of that, because you let the devil come and encroach on your ground, the ground of your mind. You have to understand. The Bible says, be sober-minded. I have to have a clear mind so that I'm able to prove what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong. That's why we come to the house of God. We come to the house of God so the preacher can tell us what's right and what's wrong. But what happens is, when you start going out into the world and you start watching what the world watches, You start watching the things that the world watches. It starts to create a narrative in your mind. It starts to create perfection in your mind. It starts to create all of these thoughts of what things should be, and they're misplaced because they're antithetical to the word of God. I'm here to tell somebody, you've got to protect your mind. You've got to watch the things that you watch. You've got to be on guard and say, that's not going to go into my mind. I've got to defend this ground. It's documented. Movie stars don't let their kids watch TV. Ain't no preacher gonna tell me what I'm gonna do in my house. The people that's creating this stuff know the power and the potency of it, so they won't let their kids intake of it. One man said it this way. He says, television is an invention that was created to let you be entertained by someone in your living room that you will never let in your home. I've got two small kids. I gotta defend this crown. I gotta defend everything that comes in. I've gotta say, we're gonna stop right here. We're not gonna watch this. We're not gonna go here. We're not gonna listen to this. I've got a ground to defend. My God in heaven. And so what happens is we start watching these things that are not like God. And we start listening to these things that are not like God. And when we get in our car after church, we turn on the radio station that is not like the things of God. And it starts feeding you a narrative that you start to believe because you get disconnected from the house of God. That's why David said, I got to get back to the house of God. I've got to see straight. I know I got off a little bit, but when I got back to the house and I lined myself up with the pulpit and I let the preacher speak into my life, without fear and without favor, I was able to ascertain the things that I can let in and the things that I needed to get out. That's what the word of God does. It is a mirror. I'm looking in the word of God every day. You need to do this. And I take a step to the left. No, you need to take two steps to the right. And I take two steps to the right. And I feel like I'm safe. And God says, you need to take three steps to the left. And I take three steps to the left. And I'm playing this game with God because I want to be in alignment with the things of God and with the plan of God and with the word of God. Because when I get in alignment, then all of the things that I need to have will be lined up and they will be added unto me. You got to watch what you listen to, young people. You can't. God, help me, Jesus. You got to pay attention. You got to be a watchman over your mind. You got to be a watchman over your thoughts. You've got to be a watchman over the things that you take in. You got to be a watchman over where you place your foot. You got to be a watchman over who you link yourself up with. You've got to be a watchman. You've got to say, I know they may seem cool, but they're antithetical to the things of God. I've got to get back to the house of God. I've got to hook up with somebody that's in the house of God. Deal with this conversation often in Bible studies of people that aren't all the way connected to church, and they want to talk about the things that are permissible and that, oh, the Bible doesn't say this and the Bible doesn't really say this, and it's okay if I have a little drink, it's okay if I, long as it's not in excess. But you have to understand that I won't let anything in my mind, I won't give the devil a foothold in my mind. And so I have to be sober so that I can be able to know what things are good and what things are pure and what things are lovely. And so, no, I'm good with that. You can have that, but you need to get to the house of the Lord so that your mind can be clear, so you can make the right decisions, so you can... He told the priest in, I think, Leviticus, he says, don't be driven to strong drink. People are like, well, that's talking to priests. God has called you to be a priest. God has called you to be a prophet. On that job that you go to, you are the priest at that job. When you go in, you mediate the things of God. But if you're taking sips of wine coolers and you're trying to, my God, Help me, Jesus. Help me. You gotta have a clear mind. You gotta have clear thoughts. You gotta be able to judge correctly. You gotta not let anything take control of your mind. You've gotta not let anything get a foothold. Right. The devil wants to take a little bit of ground because he knows if I just get a foothold into their mind, I can destroy them. If If I just get one step in, all I need is just a little bit. All I need you to do is just watch this for 15 minutes. All I need you to do is just hang out here for about 10 minutes. When you do that, you start to lose control of the ground that God has given you. You've got to stand up. You've got to fight. You've got to defend the ground. Mighty God, it's important the things that you let your kids see. One man talked about the first 7 years, and he said, the Jesuit said, if you give me the kid for 7 years, I'll show you the man that he's going to be. So that programming that's happening, all of the things that they see, all of the things that they pick up just by instinct, you have to be careful what you let into your home. You have to be careful the way that you mediate the things that should stay and the things that should go. You've got to get to the Word of God. You've got to get to the house of God. You've got to listen to an apostolic preacher that's going to tell you the truth of God's Word. You need somebody to tell you straight up, real talk. You got to get that out of your life. That's going to destroy your ground. So we're operating. He talks about how the first 7 years is programming. And after that first 7 years, you start to act out the things that you've learned in the 7 years. When I turned 16, we traveled a lot, but we didn't stay in a lot of hotels. My dad liked to stay with family wherever we went. So we would pull up to family's house every time we went out of town. And I didn't stay in a lot of hotels. I think my kids are almost three. I think they've stayed in more hotels than I did in the first 20 years of my life. But I remember going to the Grand Ole Opry Hotel when I was 16. I drove to Nashville. I started to drive to Nashville and Atlanta, and I started to see things that were different. And this is one of the nicest hotels that I had seen up until this point. And something struck me while I'm walking in this hotel as a 16-year-old. I've never seen anything like this. This is blowing my mind. This is beyond anything that I thought a hotel should be. And then you had kids that were walking through the hotel, 5, 4, 3 years old, not even paying attention, looking at a book or looking at a phone, doesn't even realize what they're into. And this is the greatest thing since sliced bread to me. Right. The man said there's a reason that the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. These kids are growing up in an atmosphere where they see this and this is normal to them. And so when they grow up, this will be normal. For me, this was not normal. This was something that was beyond my grasp and beyond my reach of what I had seen at that point. And so the only way to break the cycle of the programming is by new information. But for us who understand the Word of God, it's by a renewing of your mind. You have to start back over. You have to get all of these concepts into your mind. That's why you need to sit in a home Bible study. That's why you need to come to church every time the door is open. Because you need to hear the promises that God has for you. You need to hear the plans that God has for you. You need to hear about the place that God is building for you. So the guy talks about the only way to break the cycle is by new information. For us, we understand that is a renewing of the mind first. And then we start to take in all of the new information that the kingdom of God gives. I learned how to run a business through the kingdom of God. I learned how to raise my family through the kingdom of God. I learned how to be a man through the kingdom of God. All of these things happen because I came to the house of God. You've got to get an attitude. You've got to say, you're not going to take my mind because this is my ground. I'm going to defend it. My God, you got to fight. You got to stand. unwavering, unmoved, unyielding, uncompromising. You have to stand in a position of strength, knowing that God is on your side. It doesn't matter if your brother's there. It doesn't matter if your sister's there. It doesn't matter if your mom is there. You've got to stand knowing that God is on your side. God is going to fight for you, but you've got ground to defend. My God. My God. Somebody said it like this. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. You gotta protect your mind. At all costs, I gotta protect my mind. I feel like telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, you've let the devil take too much ground in your mind. And when God gives you a word from the pulpit, you can't receive it because your mind is so filled with the clutter of the world because you've given the devil a foothold. You've got to clear your mind tonight. You've got ground to defend. I didn't mean to park here. But I'm telling somebody, the devil has taken hold of your mind and all of the potential that God has for you. You're not going to be able to see it. All of the promises and all of the plans that God has for you, you can't see it because your mind is so cluttered with thoughts from the enemy. I'm telling somebody, it's not too late. You've come to the right place tonight. God can clear your mind. God can clear your conscience. God can change your life. My God, I believe somebody needs to stand up and receive the word of the Lord right now. You need to let that germinate on the inside of you. You need to go ahead and say, I claim that. I'm going to have my mind. I'm going to have my thoughts. I'm going to have my emotions. Somebody needs to make up in your mind. This is not the devil's playground. The mind is not the devil's playground. The mind belongs to God. And God has a promise. And God has a plan. And God has a will. You've got to defend the ground. I wish somebody would get a hold of what I'm preaching right now. I wish somebody would just clear your mind tonight. Let God take control of your mind. Let me tell you a secret. The devil is a liar. Whatever he tells you is a lie. The devil is a liar. When he tells you you can't, you can. When he tells you you won't, you will. But you've got to get tapped into the renewing of your mind and let God start taking control of your thoughts, your emotions, your dreams, your future. Let God have it. Put it in his hands. This is his ground. My God, my God. We've got to defend the ground of our families. Look at your hands. If you've got a family in this place, God has put some precious things in your hands. It is ground that is worth defending. And the trick of the enemy, hear me very carefully. The trick of the enemy is to tell you that as long as you provide for them, you can rest. You've done your part. You put food on the table. You put clothes on their back. You put a roof over their head. But let me remind somebody in this place, sir, ma'am, let me remind you that you have a responsibility to defend the ground. There is a war that is happening in the spirit for your family, and you have yet to engage in it. You've got to fight. You've got to defend the ground. There's ground that you've got to defend. Somebody needs to raise up and fight for your family right now. I need a mom and a dad to stand up and defend the ground right now. I need you to fight right now. There comes a point in time. There comes a point in time when you get smacked around way too many times. and you got to get an attitude, and you got to get sick of the devil slapping you around all the time. You got to start digging out worship, digging out prayer, digging out the word of God, engaging in the battle, fighting back for your family. God has not left us defenseless. God has given us everything that we need. God has given you the ability to go to him in prayer. He's given you the ability to lift up your hands in worship. He's given you the ability to go and dig into the word of God for all of the answers that you need. God has given you lethal weapons. God has given you all the things that you need. You don't need a 12 gauge. You don't need a 20 gauge. You need the word of God. You need to dig into the word of God. You need to dig into prayer, and you need to dig into worship. And so don't complain about your life if you're not down here praising, and you're not down here worshiping, and you're not doing everything that you can do to affect change for your situation. The devil likes to keep you in that place. He likes to tell you prayer doesn't work. You prayed that prayer 30 times. You got to keep on knocking. You got to keep on going to the door. God, I know I prayed about this before, but I need help. I'm a wreck right now. Come to the door, God. I guarantee you, God will not leave you hanging. He may not come when you want him, but he's going to be there right on time. But if you abort the process, if you abort the plan of God, if you abort the will of God, then you won't be able to be there when he's at the door opening it for you. You got to start to understand, God, you're going to find me in the middle of this crown. Even if I'm losing a battle, you're going to find me here, God. I'm not going to flee. I'm going to stay faithful to the ground that you've given me. I'm going to stay faithful to the process. I'm going to stay faithful to the man of God. I'm going to stay faithful to the will of God. I'm going to stay faithful to the process. God is on the other side. He's working it out for your good. He's letting you walk it out a little bit so you'll go through something so he can build some character in you. God is more concerned with building character than he is out of taking you out of your situation. He wants to build something in you. He wants to grow something in you. He wants to give you more equipment so that when you go out into this world and you are defending the ground, you're able and equipped and ready to fight any adversary that will come your way. I'm telling somebody in this place, you've got ground to defend. You've got to fight for your family. You've got to fight for your kids. You've got to fight for your husband. You've got to fight for your wife. Warfare looks a little bit different than what we read about in our text. Warfare looks a lot like obedience. Warfare looks like Noah building an ark when everybody thought he was losing his mind. Day in and day out, he would prop himself up in the middle of this ground, and he would start building an ark. And all the naysayers and all the people that said, we've never seen rain before, would say, this guy is crazy. This guy's wasting his time. This guy needs to stop defending that ground. There's nothing that's going to come out of that. He's wasting 100 years of his life. I don't know how long you've been in your process, but I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how long. God is on your side. If God has given you a blueprint, you mediate that thing till it's done. You continue to work. You continue to grind out the process. You continue to do the will of God. I'm sure his children didn't quite understand when all their friends were doing other fun things. No, we can't go today. You know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be building the ark. Man, y'all crazy. You're missing out on all the fun. You're missing out on all the things that we're doing. We're doing this and we're doing that. You are missing out. I don't understand it. But daddy said we got to build a boat. I don't get it. Daddy said we're going to build a boat. It doesn't make sense to me. But daddy said that it's going to rain and we're going to build a boat. Right. Obedience is the warfare here. They would say that you're wasting your time with this ark. You're spending precious time. Noah, you're wasting your life away. But every time Noah picked up that hammer and every time he nailed a nail to that wood. And every time he did it again, he was saying, you can't have my family. You can't have my increase. You can't have my breakthrough. You can't have my children. You can't have... Somebody got to pick up a hammer today and start mediating the things of God. You can't have it. It belongs to me. This is my crown, and I'm going to defend it. Obedience is the key. If God tells you to do something, you just do it. You got to understand it. One day it'll make sense. You'll understand it better by and by. He told the children of Israel, he said, the death angel is going to pass through. And I want you to go and wipe blood over the doorpost. And everybody's looking at them like, what are they doing? They are wasting their time. Why are they doing that? They don't understand. That's not going to do anything. It's just simple blood on a doorpost. But with every swipe, you can't have my family. You can't have my increase. You can't have my breakthrough. You're not going to encroach on this crown. This is my crown, and I'm going to defend it. With everything that's in me, I don't care what I've got to do, but I've got to fight for my babies. I don't care what I've got to do, but I've got to fight for my wife. I don't care what I've got to do, but I've got to fight for my house. Parents, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to cover your babies in prayer. You have a responsibility when you're sending them out to these schools to cover them in prayer. There's school shootings happening on every hand, but God has sent apostolics in these schools. And if he could just catch the hand of the man that's about to pull the trigger and say, I know where you can go. I know a place where you don't have to deal with this pain anymore. I know a place where there's joy, there's peace, there's righteousness in the Holy Ghost. You got to cover them in prayer. You got to cover them in all the things that they do. It is your responsibility. This is your family. This is your family. My God. Preparing this sermon, I was just thinking through people that defend the ground. And I always come across Brother T, who had to make some difficult decisions when he walked into an apostolic church. And a lot of times when you make difficult decisions, everybody's not going to ride with you. It's some people that can't take the ride with you. It's some people that ain't going to be able to get in your car and go where you want to go or go where God wants to take you. And so he had to stand there in the face of adversity. And it's difficult in that time because you don't see the fruit of it. You get the Holy Ghost and you got to wake up in the morning and go to work. Right. You get baptized and you got to wake up in the morning and go to work. Right. But the fruit comes 5 years later. Yeah. On a Wednesday night, his son stood right here. He lifted up his hands and he spoke in a tongue that he had never learned in school. I'm telling somebody, you've got to defend the crown. You've got to fight for this. It's some things that you've got to fight for your family that they don't even realize yet. You've got to stand in the gap. You've got to say, not on my watch. I'm standing and I'm defending this world. We talk about my dad all the time. We talk about how he was an alcoholic, and he was. But God filled him with the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget the day when I knew that this thing was dead serious for him. I started playing sports when I was 5 years old, and I spent time on it every single day, day in and day out. I would have a ball in my hands at some point in the day, working on the skill. 5 years old, I was the quarterback on a 7-year-old team. I knew every play. I knew everywhere everybody else was supposed to be. I understood everything because I put time into it. 5 years old, all the way up through peewee football, I was learning and I was growing, and I knew that my destiny was going to be on a field. I never forget the day I went to spring training for middle school ball. It would be my first time playing school ball. And I remember getting the jersey, and I saw people that were there that I knew from Little League, and I just knew I'm better than him. I'm about to kill it. I came home with a jersey. My mom had took me to practice. I came home with a jersey. They had just got the Holy Ghost, or my dad had just got the Holy Ghost. Came home with that jersey. I walked into the living room, and I was so proud. I showed him a number 5 jersey from the football team. And I remember my dad standing up. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He stood up, and he told me the worst thing that you can tell somebody that felt like they had some potential. He said, "You ain't playing." I said, "Daddy, you don't understand. You don't get it. I promise you I got a future in this. I promise you I will work hard at this. I promise you I will put everything that I've got into this. I have to this point." He said, "Son, we got to make some decisions. And this is a difficult decision because you've been doing this for a long time. But I got hooked up with the church. And when I got hooked up with the church, I started making decisions for my family. And I looked my son in the face and I told him, 'You're not playing this year, or you're not playing again.' And that was the best decision that he could have ever made. I wouldn't be standing here today if my daddy wasn't standing and defending the ground, if he didn't say, 'You're gonna go this far and no further.'" Young people, listen to me. You might have all the talent in the world, but I'm telling you, it's a dead-end street. You need to get hooked up with the calling that God has called you to. You got ground to defend. Parents, I know your kids can't see it right now. They won't understand. You're going to have to make some decisions that's going to make them upset. But I promise you, it's for his good. I promise you, when you look back on it, you're going to say, "Thank God that God gave me the strength to defend this crown. Thank God that God gave me the ability and the fortitude to stand strong in the face of my children that I want to give the world to. But I wanted to defend the ground because I knew that that's what I had to do." You got to stand at the door with the sword. You got to stand in the middle of your ground. Preaching to somebody right now, you got to make some hard decisions right now. I'm preaching to somebody in this place. You got to make some lines in the sand. You've got to say, "We're going to go this far and no further. We're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to go here anymore because it's important. I've got to defend this crown." Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody obey the Holy Ghost right now. Let their heavenly language flow all over this house right now.
Help us tonight, Jesus. Help us tonight,
oh God. Oh God. Help us tonight, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God.
Your boss, your husband,
my eyes, and I will begin to bless your effort. I will begin to take you to higher places, begin to have control, make good decisions, have consistency, and I will bless you. I'll take you to a greater place. I'm not asking you to jump to a great place in one day. I'm asking you to take one decision at a time, and I'll bless you. I'll take you to places that you never dreamed of going. I'll take you to heights that you never thought you could climb. Hear me this night. You've heard the word of my servant. One step at a time, one decision at a time, one choice at a time. Glory.
Let's thank God for the word all over the house right now. Brother Sam, come on up. Mighty God, mighty God, worthy God. Jesus, Jesus. Let's stand all over this house right now. Mighty God, mighty God. I believe that God is equipping you tonight. I believe that God has given you dominion in areas that you haven't had dominion in a long time. I believe that there are people that are willing to defend the ground tonight. I believe that God has brought us to this place right now just to get your attention and tell you that you can do it. You can make it. You can do whatever God has called you to do. You can be whatever God has called you to be. You can defend the ground. He's going to help you do it. Let's stand all over this place. Let's come on down to the altar. If you want to defend the ground tonight, just lift up your voice right now. Lift up your hands. Let's pray all over this place right now. God wants to work in this house. If you need the Holy Ghost, come on down to the front right now. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. He's going to start this process of you defending the ground in this place right now. Hallelujah. Somebody press on in right now. Somebody press on in right now. Somebody press on into those prayers. God's word. working in this house right now. God is moving in this house right now. Family, go and find your family right now. Go pray with your family right now. Husbands, go pray with your wives right now. And parents, go pray with your children. If you're by yourself, just link up with somebody right now. Let's go to God in prayer together right now.
Fill me with your glory. Fill me with your
That's it. Press on in right now. God's doing a work right now. Stirring up in this place right now. God's moving in this house.